Hey, a couple of months ago, when we got into this pandemic, there was a buzz phrase talked about the new normal, and everyone kept saying there's going to be a new normal. Well, we're 6 months into it, and I think what we know is there's a whole lot of new and not a lot of normal. And so while we're trying to lead through this phase, we keep asking ourselves, how can I lead when everything I see is new, but yet there is nothing that is normal? So I've done some reading and some research and also just some experience from 6 months of being in leadership of hopefully some particulars that can help you and help myself as we begin to continue to lead during this time when everything is new, but yet nothing is normal. Now, if you've got your handout, I hope you'll have it ready, and we're going to fill in some blanks, and we've got about 11 things. We'll go by pretty quick. My goal is we'll get you out at 12:35 for sure, and let's just go through and let's learn together on some of the particulars on how to lead when everything's new, but yet nothing is normal. Number one is this. The first is to be agile, resilient, and adaptive. Agile, resilient, and adaptive. Now, when you think of that, what do you think about when you're saying you need to be agile? That means you got to respond quickly. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of ambiguity. And so you have got to respond quickly, and it has to be faster, really, than you even can imagine. So you've got to be agile. A lot of things are changing. We talk about being resilient. Now, being resilient means that sometimes you've made some decisions and then things change. Everything didn't work out the way that you want to. You've got to be able to get back up off the ground and just keep going after it. And then adaptive. Adaptive means as the situation changes, you have to be willing and able to adapt to it. When we think about being adaptive, I'm a pastor of a Southern Baptist church. And in a Southern Baptist church, there are a number of things that you can do that are easy, and there are a number of things you can do that are hard, and then there are just a couple things you just really want to stay away from. One of those is to change worship service times. Usually when a Southern Baptist pastor says, I want us to change our worship service times, that's when you update your resume. Because times could be coming to a close for you. There are some pastors who've lived their entire life and they've never had to change a worship time. And so when you see what we've done these last 6 months, it's just been historical. I don't think it's ever had more change than this from a Baptist pastor standpoint. If I could just walk you through just a real brief thing, just even here at our church. So before all of this pandemic started, we had one worship service at 9:30 and we had two Sunday schools over there. And we've been cruising with that and felt good about that. Well, all of a sudden, pandemic. No longer do we worship in the church. Now everything's online. So no Sunday school, no worship, but we are online. We did that for a number of months, and then we said, it's time to try to get back. And so at the end of June, we're going to get back into the church. But when we did, had to change our worship times. Now we got to have two services. Let's go 9:30 and 11. No Sunday school. Then a little bit of time went longer, and we said, okay, let's add a Sunday school to it. So now we've got one Sunday school that we've added. Now we've gone a little bit longer, and we feel good with this. Guess what? This Sunday, not two services, one service. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. Change times again. And you know what's going to happen the next week after that? We're all going to come back on, and we're going to have two services. Two different times, 9 o'clock, 10:30, two Sunday schools. There are Southern Baptist pastors that are rolling in their grave right now. That is a whole lot of change. But you as a leader have got to be adaptive to that and just take the times as they are, as all the uncertainty that we have, and you got to be adaptive. So think about that. Agile, resilient, and adaptive. Second of all, the second thing is this. Be an empathetic communicator. Be an empathetic communicator. What I mean by that is that for us as leaders, we can get so engrossed by all that has been going on and by all the responsibilities that we have. And we're trying to make decisions. We're trying to take information as it comes in. We're trying to lead our people. And we have got responsibility. And we've got responsibility for the welfare of our employees, the welfare of the commitments to our clients and to our customers. And so with all the pressure that we have, it's real easy for leaders to get to the point to where they're the ones that sort of are feeling weighed down. And you forget, everybody feels that same way. Everybody feels that way. Everybody's going through uncertainty. Everybody is going through some times of change. Everybody's going through frustration. And so whenever you're communicating with others, you need to understand, hey, they've gone through some difficult times. All the kids are going back to school now. Think about the challenges that people have. Single moms or parents who have got jobs, both of them are working, and someone's got to figure out how to stay home because kids are sometimes at school and sometimes at home, and those changes that are made there. For those who've got loved ones in the hospital or loved ones that are in nursing homes and they can't go by and they visit them and can't be with them, there's all kind of pain that people are dealing with. And so what we need to remember as a leader is that whenever we communicate with others, we need to be empathetic of them because we know that they're going up through pain just as we are going through pain. And then everybody's going through some kind of fatigue. Some people got mask fatigue, tired of wearing masks. Some people have Zoom fatigue. And I just thank you for watching right now. And that's why we're only going to be 35 minutes. And when this 35 minutes is over, shut down your computer, walk outside, stretch or whatever. Because you've got Zoom fatigue. And then everybody has got just uncertainty fatigue. Hey, just tired of things being uncertain. Hey, we just love to have a routine. You're almost just begging for normality, just something I could drive a stake in the ground and say, I can count on this without having so much change. Everybody's going through this. The best leaders are the ones that will be empathetic in their communication. So let me encourage you and let me challenge you along that way. Number three, communication. You need to communicate strategically and frequently explain the why of decisions. Now, if you take a look over here at strategically, what I mean communicate strategically is that you will want to communicate in both large groups and also in small groups and also with individuals. So it can't just be a broad brush. You've got to know when you need to bring in the smaller groups and when you just need to sit down with individuals. But then you need to communicate frequently. I've read a lot and I've had a lot of things come across my desk, and it seems that the number one problem over these last 6 months is lack of communication. And people over and over say, we're just not getting the message out, or it's a conflicting message. And so you have to communicate frequently. You have to over communicate and just say things over and over. You say, well, Danny, why is it different now? Because people are getting bombarded by so many messages. We've had people talk to us about when the kids started to go back to school, that they were just getting bombarded by messages from teachers, from the school itself, and from all the different schedules and the setups. And it just can be overwhelming. And so you have to constantly remember and frequently keep them in the loop as to what's going on. And then explain the why of decision. There are a lot of decisions that you have to make. And I'm telling you, you're operating off of the most current information and you're doing what you think is best for the organization. And as you're making these decisions, it usually requires some kind of change. And then sometimes people are going to bow up on you. They're going to back up on it. And part of it is they just don't understand why you're doing this. So every time you're making a new decision, explain the why. And as you're explaining the why, it is of the best of the knowledge and ability that you have at that particular time. And my experience has been that if I can at least share the why we did this, people will be more accepting of it. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not real crazy about that decision, but I understand why we're doing it. That's what you want. You want them to understand the why. And then hopefully get your whole team together and to be able to continue to move forward because they understand this is why we do what we do. Okay? Number four is this. Number four, be transparent, be honest, and be humble. So for you as a leader, transparency, honesty, and humility. Transparent is that you don't have all the answers to all the questions. The great thing is no one's an expert on this. So I think the best way for you to lead through this and best way for me to lead through this is just to be transparent and say, hey, I'm going with everything I know, and this is the best that I know. And then it talks about just being honest. And what part of the honesty is, this is the plan we're going with. This is the direction we're going. And I just got to tell you, hey, I'm not 100% certain that this thing's going to work, and I can't guarantee you that things are not going to change. But at this particular time, this is where it is best. And then the humility. Every one of us needs to be humble during this time, because every person is on level ground. No one living has been through a pandemic like what we're going through right now. No one can sit there and hold up and say, if you just read my book on pandemics, you'd be in a better position. Nobody can say, I've been blogging about this for years. No one can say, if you'd have just gone to my conference or to my seminar. There's none of that. Listen, folks, we're all on the same, walking on the level ground on this. And so nobody can bow up and puff up and think they've got all the answers to it. You got to maintain that humility. And if as a leader, if you've got that transparency and you've got honesty and you've got humility, your people will respect that and they will follow that, and it gives them a security. Because you see, you don't know all the answers and they don't know all the answers, but yet they will follow your lead because you say, I've researched it. This is the direction I think we need to go, and let's just go and do this together. Okay? Number five is this. That is drive performance and prepare for a future that will be perpetually undergoing change. Now, and a lot of words in there. Fill it in. Get your blanks filled in over there. Drive performance. What does drive performance mean? That means just because we're going through times of uncertainty does not mean that you can back up and say, well, let's just sort of fold our cards and just be safe. No, you got to drive performance. You got to continue to move forward and to try to get your company, your organization to continue to move forward. You cannot let uncertainty be an excuse not to do anything. So you drive performance and you prepare for a future that will be perpetually undergoing change. I read a statement that says you are making decisions in an environment of high uncertainty and constrained resources. High uncertainty and constrained resources. And that is so true, because as resources get tighter and then also you've got uncertainty, somehow you are trying to lay out plans. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I do not believe that you'll be laying out any five-year plans anytime soon, because I don't even know if you'll be able to put out a one-year plan at this time. We're just trying to almost go week by week, month by month, and try to look a little bit in the future. But because resources are changing and because of so many other uncertainties that we have, it's difficult to plan the future. You still have to take your best shot at it, but you also need to understand it's going to be perpetually undergoing change. But I go back to the first point, and that is drive performance. Do not hide your head in the sand thinking that you don't have to do anything at this time. No, this could be some of your finest hours. So keep driving for that performance. Number six is this. Look for new and unexpected opportunities. And if you have room on your handout, you could say unexpected opportunities and ideas. And you could just write in "and ideas." So I'm looking for new and unexpected opportunities. To me, some of the most intriguing things to watch is the innovation by some companies who see this pandemic as a challenging opportunity and not a time to bury your head in the sand. And they take this on as a challenge. I read a story about a Philadelphia sports apparel company named Boathouse. And in April, we're about a month and a half into this thing, they switch gears. And when they began to switch gears, they began to make personal protective equipment for area hospitals and essential businesses. Their CEO said that he could make this pivot because he knew about the manufacturing and the warehouse facilities in North Philadelphia. And he says, I've got the workforce. I've got the equipment. We could start doing this. And so what they did, they started making cloth masks. Got to be honest, wasn't quite as good as the Spam mask that we gave away, but it still was some good stuff. And they began to make these cloth masks. Well, then they saw where FEMA had a need for surgical and isolation gowns. And so they began to turn those out. And as of today, they're shipping 30,000 gowns every week. Now they've come up with neck gaiters for people to wear. Now they've taken it a whole nother step, and they've gone to doing design masks for people who want to have custom-made masks. So he's just constantly making changes and improvements. But you see, what he did was he looked for this new, unexpected opportunity, and he took full advantage of that. So during this time of pandemic, don't look at it as a time where I've got to put everything on hold. Look for the opportunities around you. Things are going to be different, but that also means that there's some opportunities for you to do some better things for your business and for your organization. And just when I said to add the word ideas, maybe you change up the way you do some things, or maybe you come with a new idea. I think since time immemorial here at Chase Mountain Baptist Church, we would have a recognition for high school graduates. And it would always be the third Sunday in May, and we'd have them all march in, sit in a particular place in our worship center. And at the beginning of the worship center, we'd call each one by name, and they'd come up, and I'd shake their hand, we'd give them a gift, they'd go across the stage, show some pictures up on the big screens. And it took probably about 10 minutes of the service. We had a time where we prayed for them, and it was a special time. It was good, and it's the way we've always done it. But as you know, this May, we were still sheltering in homes, and we couldn't come and have that service. And so we still wanted to honor them, but we had to come up with a different way of doing that. And so what we decided to do was, when we got to the month of June, later on in June, we said, well, why don't we did it on like a Sunday afternoon? Let's say about 4 o'clock or so. And bring them in, socially distance them in this room, have their families here, parents and grandparents, to be spread out all over the worship center, and let our minister of students to give them a challenge, and gave me an opportunity to give them a challenge. And then let's call them up on the stage and do the hand, couldn't be a handshake that day, it was almost like wave to you, and give them a gift, and have them going across the stage. And after we've had this time of celebration, then we have opportunities for parents to gather with those students and to pray with them. I just got to tell you, being one who was able to be here, just to look out over that worship center and see parents huddled around their kids who are getting ready to go off to college or that next step for them, and to pray for them, to take that time. And then when it was over, then had a fellowship time for them. Well, when it was all said and done, parents responded back to us and said, we love this better. And you know what? We did too. And so next year, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go with that plan. And it was so good, we're even changing the way we do parent dedication. And rather than doing that on a Sunday morning, we're also going to take an afternoon and feel like that we can give more time to it and make it even more special. Look for new and unexpected opportunities. They are there, and they're there for you to take. Number seven is engage in extensive collaboration in your ecosystem. Okay? Had to throw out a big word to you to think I knew what I was talking about. But it's not the word collaboration, it's the word ecosystem. Your ecosystem, that is sort of your network. That's your suppliers, your distributors, your customers, your competitors. You take that whole ecosystem, and you need to engage in extensive collaboration. I think this is one thing that we've seen during this pandemic more than I've ever seen in my life, and that is collaboration of people getting together to just say, we got to flesh this out. What is the best way to do this? We're all trying to navigate uncharted waters, waters we've never gone before. So how do we do this? And I can just tell you personally from us, we have collaborated with a number of churches here in Birmingham. We've also talked to churches that are in other states, other cities, and just said, hey, help us with this. What are you doing? Everything from what are your worship times, how are you doing your cleaning part of it, how are you doing your mask over here, how are you doing your social distancing, what are you doing in the parking lot, and on and on and on. And it's been wonderful, because not one of us stepped up and said, hey, I can tell you exactly what you need to do. They're saying, this is the best idea that we've got. What do you think? And there was collaboration. If you're going to lead through this time, I would encourage you to collaborate. Talk to other people within your ecosystem and begin to gain better information as to how you can pretty well travel these uncharted waters. All righty? Number eight. Number eight is this. That is, have the mentality of we are all in this together. Have the mentality of we are all in this together. I think one of the most difficult things of this pandemic is the spreading out of your workforce. There are people that are working at home. There were times when we had our offices shut down here over a number of months, and many of you have that. I've even talked to some people in our church who in March they went home and their company has said, don't come back in the office till January. You just be working at your home. And it gets difficult when people begin to be separated from each other. On a normal work week, you've got all your different departments sort of cross-pollinating. And you've got your marketing, and you've got your design over here, and you've got production, you've got engineering, and they cross paths with each other, and they talk about their projects, and they talk about the next thing that they're working on. And so there's that oneness and singleness of purpose. But what happens is when we begin to get separated, and that even when we get back into our offices, many times we're almost locked in our offices because everyone, you want to have masks, you want to keep that social distance. And so you begin to get what we call, you build silos. You become a turf shepherd. And that means it's my turf, my silo, my work, my department, my project. And all of a sudden, there's not that singleness of purpose and there's not that oneness within the organization. And so I would challenge you as a leader, did you just need to be aware of that? You need to look out over your organization and say, are we moving in that direction? Am I seeing more and more of that? And if you are, you need to go in and call it out. And you need to better communicate again our vision, our focus, our singleness of purpose, and bring the people back together. Physically, you may not be able to bring them back together, but you can bring them back together from a vision and a focus standpoint, and to make sure we understand it's not just this particular area's project, it's a team project. And remind them, hey, we are all in this together. All righty. Number nine is this. Demonstrate high levels of trust for those working at home. Demonstrate high levels of trust for those working at home. I read a lot of different publications to get some ideas for this talk, and this seemed to come out over and over where it says, hey, you got to have trust for those working at home. And what that means is when someone decides that they're going to have to work at home, you got to trust them that they don't have one eye on the computer and one eye on Netflix, okay? You've got to trust that they are doing the work and getting the work done, and you need to communicate that to them. There are some people, because of their family situation and because of their health situation, they can't come in. They have to work at home. And you need to make sure that they don't feel like a second-class citizen because they're not able to come into the office. There are things that are preventing them from doing that. And so you need to continue to love on them, support them, and show your trust in them. Number 10 is this, and that is to sharpen your own axe. Sharpen your own axe. I love that story of the two guys that were loggers, and they had a competition, and they were trying to figure out which one could cut the most wood in one day. And so they had their own competition. And so you got a guy named Peter over here and a guy, John, over here, and they say, go, and they just start chopping. And they're one's on this part of the forest and one's on around over the corner. You can't see him, but you can hear him. And you can just hear those axes hitting the wood. And then after that hour, all of a sudden, there was no sound coming from Peter. And John said, man, he must be getting tired over here. So it fired John up, and he just kept chopping and chopping. About 15 minutes later, Peter starts chopping. Well, they go another hour, same thing happened. After about an hour, no sound coming from Peter. John just kept chopping. Even though John was tired, he said, man, I can keep on going. I'm going to win this competition. And it happened every hour. It would stop for about 15 minutes. And so when it was all said and done, John was tired, but John felt confident that he had won the competition. And he gets together with Peter and finds out that Peter cut more wood than he did. And he told him, he said, this is impossible. I could hear you. And he said, every 15 minutes of every hour you stopped. And then Peter's response was, well, that's true, John. And while you continue to cut for those 15 minutes, I sharpen my axe. And because he had a sharper axe, he was able to be more productive. for leaders, we got to sharpen our axe. This is an exhausting time. I mean, between all the pressures that are on top of you, the responsibilities you feel for your people, and just the amount of uncertainty, it's exhausting. It'll wear you out. And you may sit there and keep saying, I'm going to keep chopping at that tree, keep chopping at that tree. And what's going to happen is your axe is going to be pretty dull. And you're putting in all kind of effort, but you're not getting much result. And so you need to sharpen the axe. That means to take care of yourself. Get some rest. Get a good night's sleep. Consistent exercise. Keep reading. Keep learning. Be a part of peer discussions. But you have to keep your axe sharp. Okay? The very last thing is this. And that is, rest on the one who is unchanging. Rest on the one who is unchanging. The one who is unchanging is the Lord our God. There's a passage of scripture found in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, and it says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Now, I kind of smile when I read this verse because God says, I'm the one that does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the nation of Israel, that's the children of Jacob, they were falling away from God. And he said, hey, I just want to let you know, I don't change. And because I don't change, I'm not going to utterly destroy you. I am not going to wipe you out. And what that means is, he says, my mercy and my love endures forever. And so while you walk through this time, you have a God that can never change. And because of that mercy and that love that endures forever, you can rest on him. He is the one who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And he raised him from the dead, giving him a victory over sin and death, and giving us an opportunity to be in a right relationship with God. And so my prayer to you is that if you don't know the one who loves you and created you, that you would get to know him and get to know him soon. And then you just rest upon him. Because in all of this crazy world, when everything is new and nothing is normal, you can rest on the one who never changes. And so I want to thank you for being a part of this Power Lunch. And I hope that you have a great week. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this again. The 1st of October. I hope to see you then. Have a great week.